are dismantling the sleeping middle class. More and more people are becoming poor. We are their cattle. We are being bred for slavery. The revolution.
Not again.
We cannot break their signal. Our transmitter is not powerful enough. The signal must be shut off at the source.
Today we're going to talk about the film. The film called They Live. It is basically an 80s movie full of 80s greatness. Your boy Rowdy Piper takes on his lead role, assisted by also another great actor, Keith David. You remember him from Men at Work? Then there's a couple other gems in here too. Peter Jason plays the role of Gilbert, the guy at the church. And we'll talk about all this. If you've never seen the movie, no surprise, plot spoilers coming your way. If you haven't seen it by now, well, I feel sorry for your mother. Another great actor, Peter Jason is in this, and you may recognize him from another classic John Carpenter film, Prince of Darkness, which I beg you to watch if you're a horror fan. Prince of Darkness is definitely one of my favorites. Lots of stuff going on in this movie. And by stuff, I'm not referring to dialogue or thoughtful content. There's a very basic, simple message. That's why this analysis will be quite short. There's not much going on in this movie. Yeah, I know. It's weird, right? Hey, it's your boy Isaac, back from the future. As I was editing this film analysis, I realized a couple big things that I missed. One, I always give you my take on if you should watch this and how much you should pay for it. Well, it's 90 minutes. It's John Carpenter. Of course you got to watch it. Of course. Is it a great film? I mean, I don't know. I watched it for free, and it's worth that, okay? Let's just put it there. There's not, like I allude to in this analysis, there's not actually a lot going on. There's one simple message, and that's basically it. But it's great. But it's a great message. So, yeah, you got to see it. If you've never seen it, by all means, find a way to do that. And then also, there is a, it's funny, there's a guy, as I was capturing the clips for the podcast here, there's a guy in the home, one of the homeless village people, who actually shows up at the end. He's now one of the elites. So I don't know if that was on purpose. I don't think so. I think they were just on a shoestring budget and they just paid an actor to do two roles. But just something fun. And I took the screenshots, as you will see on the Instagram. I'll post them on the Instagram. Add Isaac Weisheim. Like and subscribe. Check it all out. Okay, back to the show. The film, of course, is based off of a story called 8 O'Clock in the Morning. And John Carpenter, I mean, he's one of the greats. This guy, he's cranking them out of the park every chance he gets. The Thing, Prince of Darkness, Mouth of Madness, Halloween, Good Night, Halloween. Spawning probably the greatest franchise of horror films of all time. And They Live deserves a place amongst these films. Now, I must say, this film, be braced, my friends. This film is liberal propaganda. It's left-wing, socialism. Well, maybe not socialism. But it subscribes to what used to be the Liberal Party ideas of the 80s and 90s. Basically, the idea that we need to support the middle class because they are being manipulated by the elites. And we'll talk about that in the conclusion. First, let's talk about this film. Like I said, there's a guy named Rowdy Piper. He's the protagonist. He's your blue-collar guy down on his luck. He's homeless. He actually has no name. That's how he's like No Name Maddox, old Charles Manson himself. Just walking around with his little backpack, with his sleeping bag and his tools, looking for work, like a good, honest, you know, red-blooded American. And he comes upon a construction site, and that's where he gets his employment. and he meets the other main character in this film, Keith David, again from, he was from They Live as well. I mean, yeah, They Live, good one. He was from The Thing, another Carpenter classic, Men at Work. And he's kind of like the dude who's going to show him the ropes, right? He's going to show Hot Rod the ropes. Because after work, he's like, hey, we're going to go down to the homeless village where we all live. And then, you know, there's the only, and fun fact, the only character with a full first and last name is Holly Thompson, who has a very minor role in the film. And we'll talk about her. And another side note, old Rowdy Roddy, he's ripped in this movie. You know, and I grew up obsessed with WWF wrestling, to put it lightly. And he always seemed real flabby, from what I recall as a child watching wrestling. Homeboy was ripped, though. He takes his shirt off at the construction site. You know, he's all baby oiled up, got his jeans on, his boots, just pickaxing through some dirt like a real man. Yeah, you know, and I've seen this movie a few times as a child. I didn't understand what was going on. I was always scared of the aliens because I was such a freak for WWF. But, you know, and old Rowdy Roddy was on the movie, so I'm like, I'm watching it. I'm watching the movie. But I didn't really get it. And in all honesty, to revisit this film as an adult, it's kind of stupid. That's heresy, right? That's a little bit of heresy because I love John Carpenter so, as well as Rowdy Roddy Piper, rest in peace, as well as the conspiracy angle behind it. But that's okay, you know. And the movie showed us what drones were many years ahead of time. So, I mean, it was ahead of its time for sure. I bet it blew a lot of people's minds. They probably didn't know what to think. Now, yeah, okay, so he goes by Nada on the credits, which means nothing in Spanish. Nunca, nothing, nada. So, okay, so where are we at? So he's homeless, he gets some work at a construction site, meets up with Frank, old Frank, Frank and Ferder there, and they're hanging out at the homeless village. And this is where he drops his, you know, philosophy on how the elites are the worst. Rowdy Piper, he's like pro-America, though. He's pro, you know, he's your Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? And he's going to get on his feet and work his way back up, self-sufficient, and he's going to make it happen.
I got a wife and two kids back in Detroit. Haven't seen them in 6 months. Steel mills were laying people off left and right. They finally went under. We gave the steel companies a break when they needed it. Know what they gave themselves? Raises. The golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. They close one more factory. We should take a sledge to one of their fancy fucking foreign cars.
You know, you ought to have a little more patience with life.
Yeah, well, I'm all out. The whole deal's like some kind of crazy game. They put you at the starting line, and the name of the game is make it through life. Only everyone's out for themselves and looking to do you in at the same turn. Okay, man, here we are. Here we are. Now, you do what you can, but remember, I'm gonna do my best to blow your ass away. So how are you gonna make it?
I deliver a hard day's work for the money. I just want the chance. It'll come. I believe in America. I follow the rules. Everybody's got their own hard times these days.
Now, apparently John Carpenter really paid homeless people to, portray homelessness. And another fun fact, fun story. Should the great listener wonder where I get my granola ways, the one time, many moons ago, I assisted at a homeless shelter feeding the homeless, right? And I remember, like, the doors opened at like 11 a.m. or whatever, and they said, okay, first we're going to feed the families that are in the homeless shelter here. And like one family came through and they sat down and were eating, and we had to wait till 11:30 to feed the rest of the population there that was at the homeless shelter. And I said to the supervisor lady, because we were just standing there for like 20 minutes, and I said, where's everyone? Like, don't you guys have to keep a census of like how many families are here? Like, because to me, I'm like, look, one family came, they got their food, sat down. Now we're just standing here for 20 minutes. Where's the rest of the families? Or did we only have one? You know, all these questions, because I'm very inquisitive. And I asked about this, and the supervisor told me, oh, no, we have many families here. And I said, well, where are they at? And she said, well, you see, they're actually out working. And I said, whoa, whoa, what? She said, yeah, they're working. The parents are working, and then we've got like this daycare thing that we watch the children in. I said, you've got homeless families living in the homeless shelter, and the parents are out at work. And she said, yeah. I said, that's terrible. And this was only, I say many moons ago, this was less than 10 years ago, more than 5 years ago. And to me, like, this is where I get these bleeding heart things, because it's like, that ain't right. To have two parents working and still homeless. Now, could they have been on drugs? Maybe, I don't know. Like, that's what everyone always goes to. Oh, but they're on drugs, they deserve it. No, they don't. You're like, you gotta help these people out, right? Nobody wants to be homeless. These parents are working. A couple minimum wage jobs, I'm sure. Not enough to pay rent. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. But that was my experience. And that's what I had learned in college prior to that. Prior to that, I took a course on social problems. It was very influential in my understanding of the world. And you wouldn't believe it, you know. The obscene numbers of... And you want to talk about supporting the troops and equality for women? Like, the number of military veterans, women and children in the shelters is... I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's a huge chunk. It's like most of it. I don't know. You know what? I'm a Bruce Springsteen, born to run blue, you know, blue collar, red blooded American, like the Rodster here. So I identify with his character right off the bat. Okay, let's keep it moving. Now, Rod, he's at the homeless shelter, and they got like a TV, you know, and they're showing these homeless guys are trying to watch this TV, and a hacker sort of breaks through the airwaves, and he's basically trying to red pill the masses right on TV. About how repressive the society is that we're living in and how the elites will annihilate consciousness and all this.
Press on nails because of all the active things you do? Well, if you're ready for beautiful, natural-looking, easy-to-apply nails, pre-colored in 7 luscious hues, just...
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
Oh, goddamn hacker, that second time tonight that asshole's cut in.
The movement was begun 8 months ago by a small group of scientists who discovered, quite by accident, the signals being sent through...
He's giving me a headache.
Yeah, tell me about it. It took the hackers months to figure out how to do this.
The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. They have created a repressive society, and we are their unwitting accomplices. Their intention to rule rests with the annihilation of consciousness. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent. To ourselves, to others, we are focused only on our own gain. Please understand, they are safe as long as they are not discovered. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
Pulling the water out of the sand like
sponges. Blow it out your ass.
And what's weird is, like, on the side, there's a priest, and he's, like, mouthing the same words as the guy on TV. But they're talking, but it doesn't matter. The moral of the story is they're saying, they're trying to wake people up. They're literally asleep. He says, they're trying to keep us sedated. They're trying to keep us asleep. the elites are going to annihilate all of us through the annihilation of consciousness and to keep us asleep in this subservient world through manipulation. And we keep the story moving. And there's a bit more on, you know, another sort of clip, another hacker moment where they're talking about the sleeping middle class. And we find out that the camp organizer of this homeless camp, Gilbert, seems to be a bit tied into where this signal is coming from. And we get the hints that the signal is actually coming from the church that the homeless camp, the homeless village operation is run out of.
They are dismantling the sleeping middle class. More and more people are becoming poor. We are their cattle. We are being bred for slavery. The revolution.
Not again.
We cannot break their signal. Our transmitter is not powerful enough. The signal must be shut off at the source. We have...
Daddy, I have a headache.
Me too, honey.
So it seems they're facing quite a problem here. How do you wake up enough people? They're arguing about this. How do you wake up enough folks? They've got these sunglasses, which we all know where that's going. The Hoffman sunglasses. Which I'd argue maybe that's related to Abby Hoffman, perhaps, right? LSD? Waking up the masses? I don't know. So, anyway, clearly there's an operation involved with the homeless village, the church, Gilbert. The Rodster's onto it. He sees it. But the cops show up. And they start beating the crap out of the homeless people. Presumably because they're spying on the hacker shooting out the signal. But none of this is clear quite yet. And another side note, John Carpenter, he is excessive with the non-dialogue bits of this film. I mean, there must be a freaking 30-minute stretch where not a word gets said, which is so Carpenter, right? If you've seen Prince of Darkness, the intro credits, they roll for like, I mean, it must be 20, 30 minutes. But anyway, the Rodster, old Hot Rod, he snags some of these sunglasses, the Hoffman shades, from the church basement. Because now he's wondering what is happening over with this homeless village. What is going on here? And we first get this shot of how they decode reality. Because he eventually straps on the glasses. And he looks around and he sees all the subliminal messages. Which you're already familiar with the imagery. And I'll post, you know what, why not? I'll post some images on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes, as always. John Carpenter said that the glasses are a metaphor to examine the idea that advertising is a form of subliminal suggestion and brainwashing and manipulation designed to convince the masses to part with their funds. Okay? And you kind of already intuitively know this stuff. And what's fun is that as the Rodster is sort of seeing the world through this new decoder ring, he's at a newspaper stand and he sees his first sort of, alien. You know, some of the human beings are aliens in reality. They show a bookshelf behind them, and you see books by Edgar Cayce, which is very much into the paranormal, Bermuda Triangle, all that stuff. But yeah, you'll see all the imagery of obey, marry and reproduce, all the things that keep the economy fired up to keep the money going through the capitalist system. Why you think they pay you to have kids? Why you think the government takes the money of people who don't have kids and gives it to the people who do have kids? Because they are repopulating and refueling the hamster wheels. Next, like I always say, I think kids is the biggest conspiracy of them all. You want a controversial show, that'll be the show to do it. And I'm not a kid hater. I'm not a child hater. It's great. People love them. I was once a child myself. It's true. I'm just saying, the way that they, we'll call them they, this is like the Illuminati or whatever you want to believe in power structures, they view human beings as a commodity. So like they reward you for reproducing because it's good for the economy. If you ever watch Shark Tank, every other invention is something to keep your kid distracted or entertained or out of your hair or safe or whatever. Fill in the blanks. It's like high octane fuel for the economy to have kids. That's all I'm saying. Now, old Rodster, he's got these glasses on and he's like, oh my God, the whole world's crazy. What's going on? There's aliens. I can read the subliminal messaging. And now the cops are after him because the aliens, they're talking to each other. They're like, hey man, there's this guy and he sees us. They got their little like Apple watches on and they communicate with each other. They're like, hey, we got one that can see us. And the cops show up, you know, because they're in on this apparently. So Rod, he kidnaps a woman who just so happens to be the director of a TV station. And he basically is like, look, get me out of here. And he's in her car. She takes him to her house. And she smashes him in the head with a bottle. Throws him through at least a second story window. Might be even the third story. And he rolls down this massive hill. This would kill a normal man. But this is Rowdy Roddy Piper, okay? And he's baby oiled up and he's ripped. So he gets right up. He gets right up. He's totally fine. So he, you know, he's like, okay, well, that didn't work out so well. So he goes down the alley where he previously hid a box of sunglasses in a garbage can. Great place for him. And he catches a dump truck who just got done emptying the garbage cans into the dump truck. So, of course, he crawls into it and finds the box. And then the dump truck, for no apparent reason, decides it's going to tilt and raise and get rid of the whole load of garbage in the middle of the alley and drive off. Don't ask. It's fine. And he's got his little sunglasses. And he's like, cool. Sounds good. Then we get the infamous street fight between Rod and Frank. Because Rod's like, hey, Frank, man, you need to put these sunglasses on and see this world for what it is. And Frank's like, I'm not having that, dude. So they get into the classic fight. It's actually very well choreographed, and you can, and that's what you would expect from a wrestling legend. And between this fight scene and the non-dialogue section, I mean, I swear there's 5 minutes of story in this whole film. And that fight scene was real. They held back just a touch on the face and groin shots, but they practiced this for 3 weeks, choreographing it. And John Carpenter was so impressed. He kept most of it in there. Can't blame him for that, right? So Hot Rod, he wins. He gets Frank to put on the sunglasses, and Frank sees the aliens and the drones and the billboard messaging, and he's like, whoa, what's going on, dude? Fun side story. I got fun side stories because this film, there's not a lot to talk about. Fun side story. I have a friend from West Virginia who claims, he tells me, that he once was in a bar, I believe it was the 90s, because he was like, you know, 21 at the time. He was a very young man at the time. And Lex Luger and Ric Flair, the wrestling legends, were in this bar, and the locals did not appreciate them talking to their girls. And my buddy claims he beat up Lex Luger and Ric Flair and sent them home with their tails between their legs. Do I believe him? Hell no, I don't believe him. That's what he tells me, though. I mean, he likes to fight, right? Like, the guy likes to fight, so, like, it's not that preposterous. But, like, I mean, come on. Lex Luger and Ric Flair? Give me a break. Yeah, that's what he said, though, you know. Now, cool story, bro. Now, they... Frank and Rod, they got the sunglasses and they're like, oh my God, we gotta take these aliens out. They catch up with the homeless village people. The homeless village people, that's fun. It's a fun term. And we get more info about what's going on.
There is a signal broadcast every second of every day through our television sets. Even when the set is turned off, the brain receives the input and programs it.
You have any trouble getting here?
No, we made it fine.
Good. Well, the city's crawling with cops looking for us. And most of the cops are human. They've been told that we're commies trying to bring down the government. And some of them are being recruited. Creatures are trading wealth, power, You mean people are joining up with them? Most of us just sell out right away. Then all of a sudden we get promoted. Our bank accounts get bigger. We start buying new houses, cars. Perfect, isn't it? We'll do anything to be rich.
Look around the environment we live in. Carbon dioxide, fluorocarbons, and methane have increased since 1958. Earth is being acclimatized. They are turning our atmosphere into their atmosphere.
What do these things want, and why are they here?
It's in their best interests. They're free enterprisers. The Earth is just another developing planet. Their third world.
We are like a natural resource to them. Deplete the planet, move on to another. They want benign indifference. They want us drugged. We could be pets. We could be food. But all we really are is livestock.
Find out that there's elites bowing down to the aliens in exchange for wealth. They're all in on this plot to take the middle class money, funnel it to the aliens and the elites, because the aliens apparently are free enterprisers. And we are a third world country. We just don't know it. And they're manipulating us like livestock. So Rod and Frank, they're now part of this resistance. They're hanging out in the basement while they're planning. They're like, what are we going to do? We're going to take the power back. And look, there's old girl from the TV station that sent Rod through the window. Old Holly Thompson. There she is. And that's about it for her. Very strange. Next thing you know, the cops break into this secret little meeting with guns blazing, and they're catching bodies like it's a war zone. A battle ensues Rambo in Los Angeles. Picture Rowdy Roddy Piper, one arm, full auto, assault rifle, pop, 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 pop. Unloading the clip. It's got 600 bullets in it. Everybody dies. The resistance, they've got a hold of an Apple Watch. And they basically open up a portal with the Apple Watch. And now, boom, they're underground with the alien shapeshifters and the elites. And Hot Rod and Frank, they're like, they got their guns, they're ready to rock. It appears to be an underground base, like a deep underground military base, a dumb, D-U-M-B, as they call it in the biz. Because you've got this mixture of like the military, the aliens, and the elite. They're in on this whole plot together. And there's a fancy dinner, and one of the shapeshifting alien types, he's giving a speech. And he says that by 2025, the humans will be under the power of the elite and the multi-dimensional expansion, and the rich are going to get richer in this whole process.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance. The gains have been substantial, both for ourselves and for you, the human power elite. You have given us entree to the resources we need in our ongoing quest for multidimensional expansion. And in return, the per capita income of each of you here tonight has grown, and this year alone, by an average 39%. And I've just received word that our forces have won a major victory. The underground terrorist network has been destroyed here on the West Coast. We are off crisis alert. The situation is normal again.
Now, why does 2025 matter? Well, as you've read in my books, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult Usually Illusion 1, as well as The Dark Path, NASA told you what they're doing. They told you they will prove to you that aliens exist by 2025. I argue that in 2023, when the OSIRIS-REx? Now I forget. Anyway, they sent a probe out to an asteroid that's going to come back with samples of bacteria, of life. And they're going to say, here you go, boom, aliens. You came from aliens. You got alien DNA. You must be sacrificed back to the alien gods. Your stardust, your your blood with the DNA consciousness of the alien gods, it must go back. That's a longer story, though. Well, you see, so Rod and Frank, they're kind of talking to one of these elites who's giving them the grand tour because he's confused. He thinks that they're with him. I don't know if they didn't see Hot Rod's flannel. He's not wearing a 3-piece suit or whatever. And he's giving them a tour. And you hear the mentality here from the elites themselves about how, look, there's no such thing as countries. It's a one world order. And, you know, we're just getting paid, baby.
Where's that signal?
It's up on the roof, I think.
Holly works in there. If she made it, maybe we can find her. Then we can go to the roof and break that signal.
Wait, boys, wait. You're making a big mistake.
You made the mistake.
No, you gotta listen to me. I thought you boys understood. It's business. That's all it is. You still don't get it, do you, boys? There ain't no countries anymore. No more good guys. They're running the whole show. They own everything, the whole goddamn planet. They can do whatever they want. What's wrong with having it good for a change? Now they're gonna let us have it good if we just help them. They're gonna leave us alone. Let us make some money. You can have a little taste of that good life, too. Now, I know you want it. Hell, everybody does.
You do it to your own kind.
What's the threat? We all sell out every day. Might as well be on the winning team.
Now, fun fact, the alien army here underground in this deep underground military base, which, if you don't know, if you're not familiar with that, Phil Schneider asserts that he himself worked underground on one of these bases where the aliens are. Him and some Green Berets came across some aliens, and the Green Berets couldn't hack it, but Phil Schneider did, and he killed the aliens. But they claim there's these deep underground military bases underneath the Denver airport and in New Mexico, and probably underneath the Zorro Ranch where Epstein lives and all this stuff. But fun fact, this alien army underground in this base, they're using PKE meters, which, shout out to Mrs. Weisheim who caught this, training her well, you see in the film Ghostbusters. It's the same ones. I looked it up and I was like, sure enough, same thing. PKE meters. So basically, Rod and Frank, they start blowing everything up. They get up to in this studio. Now they're back above ground in the building where the TV network is hanging out. Rod basically gets up on the roof. The cops are coming for him now because they don't like what's going down. Rod has to make a decision. Does he blow up the helicopter and save his life, or does he blow up the satellite feed that's duping the masses? And you know what he does, like the real hero he is. He blows up the satellite signal. Now the whole world, they can see the alien shapeshifters for who they are. They see the signs and the billboards. A girl, she's having sexy time with one. Doesn't realize it. She looks down in horror. And the alien goes, "What's wrong, baby?" And then the film's over. Oh, classic Carpenter. So yeah, that's it. That's the film. Now, in conclusion, let's talk about what we just watched. Officially, from John Carpenter, why would he lie? This is his movie. He asserts that this is a critique of Reaganism, which is, you know, which has this trickle-down economics and Wall Street's greater than Main Street sort of ideas, and they perpetuate this lie of, well, you see, we got to take care of the elites because they'll trickle down the money to the middle class. You can't just give to the middle class because they'll blow it. Which is ironic to me because so many of the truthers today are so right-wing. And who can blame them, right? You got to understand that conspiracies came through the John Birch Society, which is a very right-wing mentality. So, like, most of the conspiracy world leans to the right. But it's funny that the truthers use this film and the imagery from it to try to wake people up. Yet they don't understand that this film is a critique of capitalism. Not necessarily capitalism, but capitalism at all cost. Reaganism. Now, John Carpenter, he said, "I have this adolescent hatred of authority. I've never gotten over it since I was a kid," which I identify with as well. I feel the same way. Ironically, Shepard Fairey, a guy who, oh, by the way, his real name is Frank. Isn't that funny? He's the guy who started the Obey clothing line, which was based off of this film and the imagery. He also was the guy who made the Hope poster for the Obama campaign. Now, John Carpenter, he also said, should you doubt me? He said, "All of the aliens are members of the upper class, the rich, and they're slowly exploiting the middle class and everybody's becoming poorer. It has a kind of theme and a message to it, but basically it's an action film." And it's true, right? When you watch it, all the aliens are the rich folks with the ties and the suits and all that stuff. And he's right. There, if you read any studies on this, the middle class is getting squeezed into oblivion. That's been happening for at least 20, 30 years. In January 2017, I retweeted the John Carpenter's account. I mean, I retweeted it in 2020, but his tweet from January 2017. "They live is about yuppies and unrestrained capitalism. It has nothing to do with Jewish control of the world, which is slander and a lie." Because I guess, like we talked about, the right-winger conspiracy folks hijacked this movie and are using it to support their ideas, which to some is an anti-Semitic vibe. Protocols of the Elders of Zion. We can't ignore Alex Jones as well. He said, and I quote, "It's one of my favorite all-time movies. Probably seen it 100 times. It breaks down everything." Roddy Piper even appeared on InfoWars once and said he himself was also a fan of Alex Jones back in 2013. So, to wrap things up, according to John Carpenter himself, this film is about what happens when the top 1% becomes too rich and becomes the 0.01%. It's a defense of blue-collar middle class, American capitalism, when it's done properly, supports the middle class and has a strong middle class. It's a warning film, right? It's a warning of what can happen when things are left, when an oligarchy infiltrates and works with the alien shapeshifters and squeezes the middle class into oblivion. Thanks for listening. I've got bonus content on rockfin.com/creator/Isaac, or if you prefer, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, where you can get all kinds of bonus stuff too over there. They both have different flavors of what you might like. Rockfin's got a full network of many other creators you get for one price. Patreon, similar stuff, but you get a different sort of vibe, a community vibe of sorts with the other Patreon supporters. Either way, I appreciate your support. Thanks for your time. And until next time, my friends, stay woke.